Welcome to another edition of Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
Judy Nathans.
And today is January 21st, 2020. Perfect 2020 vision.
And we're here even though there's no city council meeting to discuss because of Martin Luther King Day, but we'll figure stuff out.
We're going to spend hours talking about the weather.
Yeah.
And the,
or the weather.
And who's going to be the next Red Sox manager?
Oh, my gosh. That
but what is the latest rumor? Is Jason Veritek really a possibility?
Well, I've heard he works for the team.
He does?
You didn't know that? Oh, yeah. He's a lot of old ball players. Right,
too.
But he's actually based here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's because he's never managed any teams, they're not sure about that.
Probably better to bring somebody who's been doing some
managing. But he would be a
favorite
because he would be what they call player/manager, which is what they like.
Yeah.
That's what Alex was. I think Tito was that, too. He used to be a player. So we'll see. I mean, I think the crowd would like it. It would sort of like ease the pain, but you could see that coming. I mean,
I'm sorry
when you heard about the stuff with Houston and the banging of it, and that Carlos Beltran, he's out.
Yeah,
didn't even start yet as a Mets manager.
I know. My brother. I was talking to my brother who's in New York and goes to Mets games and things.
Yeah.
And wow. And as well as my
oldest friend.
He wasn't
even named at all, but he was. He just did the right thing.
Yeah.
Well, the Mets did the right. No, he. I don't know what happened first. Anyway.
Right. Now I got a phone call the other night.
What'd your brother say?
I got one from my brother, but I also got my friend Freddie Rich, who I've known for ever.
And he lives in New York.
No, he lives in California now. But we were best buddies growing up, going to elementary school together. But
so
we were
Mets fans.
We were both Yankees fans.
Oh,
actually.
Yankees fans.
Yeah. Forgive me.
I didn't know what I was thinking. Point. I was a Mets fan.
Hey, the city manager of Cambridge is a big Yankees fan.
Yeah, I know.
Don't forget
and
that.
And they came before them. The Mets were 65. They were one of the newer teams.
1962 was the expansion year.
Right.
I think American League added two teams in 61 and National League in 62.
Yeah, and I became a Mets fan after that.
I lived closer to the Shea Stadium
for
the Mets, but I was always a Yankee fan.
Yeah.
So until I came here, and yes, I became a Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
So.
So what do your friends say? Well,
there wasn't much to say other than that you could kind of see it coming with Beltran and.
Do they think they know who's gonna?
No, not really. Not really. You know, the thing is, I'm of the old school baseball, which is that, you know, everybody cheats, everybody throws spitters, everybody does this and that.
Well, they
but it's
say
the,
that.
It's the technology that has with the watches. When you turned it into this whole.
Well, I guess banging a trash can, is that technology? Although
it's
because they had the signals from an electronic device,
right.
I guess.
Yeah, they had a whole system with multiple players. It was like a conspiracy to cheat.
Yeah, it's bad stuff. Yeah.
So, anyway, so that's baseball. And I'm still looking, you know, what is it, 22 days or something to pitchers and catchers?
Yeah.
You know, still, in spite of it all,
still
looking forward to some baseball.
You know who I'd love to see, but I haven't heard his name because I think he's out, is, you know, the Cubs fired Madden. Joe. All
right.
I think he's out of baseball, but I'd love him. I think he's great.
It's good baseball, man.
Anyway, we'll see what happens.
You know, we do have the Red Sox Cubs thing.
I know.
Going,
well, they
so.
They've got Theo and they have John Lester and they have they won with John Lester and the other pitcher
who
sent to them from here. What's it, John
Lackey? Right.
Yeah. Plus, anyway.
Who has the same birthday as me, by the way?
No. Yeah. John Lackey?
I don't know about year, but.
Day. Okay, cool.
Yeah, actually, it was 1 year there were three Red Sox on the roster with the same birthday as me.
Did they win that year?
No.
Oh.
I think that was the last year where the fried chicken scandal.
And then Theo went to the Cubs.
Yeah. So.
Okay. All right. Well.
This is crazy
stuff. Last sports thing. Do you have any interest?
And you thought we were going to talk about Cambridge stuff.
Well, this. NFL, any interest?
Not that much. I like watching occasional football games, but I've never really been a fan.
Talk about ex-New England. I mean, you got Jimmy Garoppolo, who we traded.
Yeah.
Much better looking, I think, than Tom Brady. That's my opinion.
He's playing
against Kansas City. So I actually, either one of them.
I wish him well. Yeah.
Because they both have good teams. And Kansas City, 50 years. So.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway. Okay.
All right.
Back
so
to
a few,
Cambridge. So do we have any sports teams? Basketball
you know, is pretty good. I once talked to, I think it was Richie Rossi, maybe it was Louis DePasquale as well, about, you know, we were just, you know, just talking freely.
Yeah.
And I expressed you know, my idea that, you know, before all the North Point development was all set in stone.
Oh, to happen.
And I said, you know what we really could use would be a minor league baseball stadium over there. And they both went, yeah. You know,
it was like, oh, you didn't hear the latest from Worcester? What is costing them?
No. They go up.
Well, right, and it's like 100 and something million, and the city's responsible for a third. It's pretty high.
Well, you know, even so, if they did a, and I think it was some talk some years ago about an East Somerville access through the old Inner Ring Road. You know, the not Inner Ring. What do they call that? The urban, no, whatever it was called.
Yeah.
But in there, it was like having like a serious soccer stadium. But I don't think any of this stuff's ever going to really happen.
Well, you know where they talk about soccer is down by that, where they wanted to put Fenway Park. Where is it? Down by
Harrison Ave,
down that area where they had
the
Flower Mart and all that. That's something Circle, Winnett Circle or something with the W.
Yeah, yeah.
But what about Suffolk Downs? That would be a great...
I think so, too. You know,
everybody wanted Amazon to come to some of those places, and they didn't. So let's have a stadium.
Yeah,
I think it'd be great. As long as they don't have to pay for it.
Right, which is sometimes what happens. Exactly, exactly.
Enough money out there.
All right, so what are some things happening these days?
We have a new city school committee person.
We do. I'm going to say one thing just quick, because without getting into any numbers. You know, I kept track of all the campaign finance stuff.
As you do.
It's partly to make a point, but also because it's a little bit of a tiny little research project of how much does it actually cost to run a successful campaign, and where does the money come from? So, you know, what kind of implied bias within the system is there? Because one thing I guarantee is going to become an issue in the next year or two.
Yeah.
Will the whole, you know, it'll come back again, is this issue of, of publicly financed municipal election campaigns, which I'm still not sold on the idea at all.
I'm not sold when we have 25 candidates.
Very much, yeah.
We have to have a higher threshold.
Yeah, what form it would take or whatever. I'm just, I'm saying, go ahead, try and convince me, but I'm just not there. Mm-hmm. But I think it's inevitable that discussion will revive again. Mm. So, you know, I kind of figured, well, let me just keep a serious track of it all. Not that anybody could just look up a lot of this stuff, but
they don't care as much.
But, well, also I wanted to look at sort of the finer points about where the money was coming from or whatever.
You know that.
You know, and just to sort of see. Mm-hmm. But one of the things, in addition to all these, every other, twice monthly bank reports that candidates have to, that the banks, bank accounts report to the Office of Campaign Political Finance, they still have to do their year-end reports. So the deadline was January 20th, and there's still several candidates. I think Patty Nolan, Quentin Zondervan, Ben Simon, and maybe one organization who still hasn't filed, maybe between 3-something and now, maybe they have.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just switch over. There's not much really to see about that. There's also Sukiya Akiba. Right. Jeffrey McNary didn't raise or spend money, so he wouldn't have to. But Patty Nolan, Ben Simon, and... Mm-hmm. Quentin Zondervan still hadn't actually filed the paperwork. Several of them, 3 or 4 of them, including the mayor, filed their reports today, a day late, but that's okay.
You probably read your report.
Well, maybe. I mean, honestly,
I
do this at least a little bit as a bit of a nudge.
It's probably on their calendar, got to do it by this. It's not that important.
And just to sort of see the scale of things, you know, it's sort of interesting. Now, I think arguably one of the sort of the big... civic political items of this past week was they finally did have the vacancy recount to fill the seat vacated by Emily Dexter, right? I could say a million things about that. It's not how I think things should have worked out.
I know, that's unfortunate.
Right, but the thing is that, you know, a good man was elected to replace her. You know, David Weinstein, who I met actually when he first ran as a candidate, he was on the show.
A few cycles.
You know, I've met his family, and actually now his kids are more grown, you know, when I saw them all. But I have to tell you, it's kind of funny, you know, so, you know, as many people know, I get the ballot data, and, you know, as soon as I can get it in November, right? And one of the things I do, partly as a test, is I just see who the
see in case yeah, who would a, who would somebody left
like, yeah would, for yeah. the nine city councilors mm-hmm. who would be there into each of their replacements for the six school committee members elected school committee members who would be their replacements. So I'd already done this, and
yeah.
people had asked me, well, who would replace Emily Dexter should she choose to resign? And so it was known. But one thing I yeah. never told anybody was the numbers.
Mm.
I never posted them, whatever. You know, I actually kind of find it funny that people would say, well, who would be the replacement? And I just said, well, it'd be David Weinstein. And they say, well, and by the way, it's a David Weinstein
yeah.
and Rachel Weinstein.
Well,
did I get that right?
You know what? You think people are going to remember that? I've always pronounced that name, no matter who it is, Weinstein.
When they do the roll call votes, though, at the school committee,
they'll have to say Stein and Stein. It's like tomato, tomato. I'm sorry.
Really?
As long as they spell it right, to me that's important.
Yeah, it should be just fine.
Like it's some foreign name that you really have to be careful.
Yeah. So here's the thing that was kind of funny, though, for me personally. Now I'm pretty confident about my ability to work with ballot data and run election software. I don't really doubt myself all that much.
Is this online but, here somewhere?
Yeah, it is, no, actually. It is, if you scroll down a little bit.
All right.
So the thing is, so I go to the recount. So I've sort of... the world knows now what the result is going to be. So you're sort of going through the formality of a vacancy recount procedure, you know, and is there like real tension in the room, you know, whatever, but everybody knows what the result's going to be. You know, and the only candidate who actually showed was David Weinstein because the result was known.
Yeah.
Right. But here's the funny thing for me is that there's just enough little self-doubt that I wondered, Could I have made a mistake? What if everybody sort of got all their hopes built up? David's here with his family, his children, and whatever. And then I messed up, right? Is this a little bit of doubt
you
have?
You didn't realize.
No, I knew it. It wasn't realistic.
Why don't you show this?
Yeah. So anyway, so I'm sitting there the whole time, and they don't know, is it going to be a razor thin margin?
Right.
Is there going to be some question about it or whatever? And, you know, and I've got this in my little folder right there. I'm sitting next to David Weinstein at the meeting.
Yeah.
And I just said to myself, I'm not going to pull this out until it's actually made official.
Uh-huh.
Right? So I'm sort of sitting there like, I sort of felt like it was like cheating. Like I have the results here and everybody's getting all nervous or whatever. And then, and only when they announced the result did I just pull that out and handed a copy to David.
This is interesting. So it looks, Alecci Cadete would have been next.
Right. So the thing is that there's...
Under her count. Under Dexter's.
So there are 2,776 ballots. Now, the way it works is, you know, technically...
Oh, these are the total ballots that they looked at.
Valid ballots, yeah. So now, quote is a meaningless thing here because you're only electing one person anyway, but there were 926 ballots that had no... Remember, the only candidates who are eligible in this situation here are candidates who were not elected already in November. So there were six elected, which mean there were five people who were not. So it's just...
You had to see if her ballots went to those people?
Right. So they're initially distributed to the next available choice.
Okay.
So their 926 ballots didn't have any of these five listed, so they were exhausted right on the first round.
I see.
There were four write-ins, and you know, and they kind of spread around, but David Weinstein had almost 100 ballot advantage at the start, and that pretty much remained throughout.
I see.
So it was kind of, the die was cast.
Slowly then these people get exhausted.
Yeah, the second count is sort of a non-count. It was just sort of a formality. There were actually no defeated
candidates.
So
where's the count that matters?
At the end of the limb transfer.
Oh, all the way down
right,
here.
So when Ruth Ryan Allen's counted out, if you just sort of look, you know, David's up to 542.
Sure.
You count out Brennett Dawson. The numbers change a little bit, but not that much. David's actually still getting a bigger advantage. It only widens the margin there.
Right.
And then when Chris Lim gets counted out, Alecci gets a little tiny bit of an advantage, closes the margin, but it was never really in doubt.
Interesting.
But it was funny to me how nobody actually was asking how close was it. Close was it? Like, did he win by 5 votes or 1,000 votes?
But he won by quite a few.
It was about 100. You know, so it was really never in question. But
but
I'm sort of sitting there holding that thing with just that little bit of doubt. And then when they actually looking at showing the passing around the transfer sheet, I'm going. There's a little piece of me goes, whew, thanks.
Yeah.
Because even if I was off by one ballot, I would have felt bad.
Right.
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 So, you know, my reputation is still intact.
Okay? Right. Right.
Really, it's the same software, same data.
Yeah.
How could it possibly have been any different? Right. So anyway, it was very, very nice. And,
go back to something around the city council and money and everything. Is there anything in your data? Maybe we've talked about this before, but I don't remember. Can you really see, could you see who donates or who is getting money?
You can.
Does developer money play a part in any winning candidates?
Yes, in my opinion, very much. But the thing is that
How do you determine developer, by the way? By their name?
If
it's an individual that...
The way it works under state law is that when you make a contribution, you're supposed to name your employer...
Oh, right, that's
and
true.
Your profession,
that's
whatever.
Right.
Now, sometimes it's a little tricky if you're, John Smith, head of, mega corporation
But you're not donating in that name. You're donating from your own funds.
No. Not donating, you could. I think you still donate your own funds. But the thing is, if it's your company, your funds and the company's funds are kind of intertwined anyway. In the sense
you're paid
that,
by them, but that's still, as an individual, you have a right to select who you want, no?
Right. But the thing is that if you're working from some big company and you stand to personally profit from the development of the company.
And they can make the connection.
Yes. So, for example, Lime Properties is one, Forest Cities. These aren't the big ones today,
so
by the way.
So you have to know who those individuals are.
Yeah, so that's where you kind of have to...
Do you?
For the most part, I do. Okay. Not always. So actually, there were a couple of other people who actually said, your numbers are a little short because you really should know that this person here is really the person who's working, kind of fronting for this particular development interest. And then you have to verify that that's actually true because you can't just take somebody's word for it.
Is a property owner... different from a developer? Say they just own a lot of property in
Right, so that's
and
also...
And they're not developing necessarily, but they're maintaining
A perfectly valid question or issue to raise is, so Robert Winters owns a three-family house. He's a property owner.
Yeah,
if I stood to gain from a city policy, should I be considered in the same category as developer? You have to make a judgment call at some point.
I would say if you own more than 10 units of housing, maybe.
Right,
but
what you're then saying is there is just, you have to draw lines, even if it's a little bit arbitrary. But you try and be reasonable, and I've always tried to be very reasonable. So, and the thing that makes it even harder is there are some people who are clearly, in my view, donating money purely because they really do believe and trust in candidates. It's not necessarily because they're trying to influence things. And then there are others where it's pretty obvious they're trying to influence legislation.
They're supporting the candidate that would affect, maybe not, but they're playing.
Yeah.
A lot of these big places give several people.
I know, but the thing is that let's say you're a person who's a developer and your childhood best friend happens to be a candidate. So I'll actually not count that in. I'll make a judgment call on something like that, but...
So you think it's effective? You think they can buy votes?
It's not so explicit. I wouldn't say buy votes, but I would say have a somewhat weighty, more weighty influence on things.
Maybe those candidates are already pro-development anyway.
That's true.
So you're basically getting rewarded
for your policy position by those.
It's not like you're changing your policy position because of that.
Happening is you have sort of an industry, if you will, is then supporting candidates handsomely.
You could say that about the legal profession or
you
about
could.
Doctors
you're
or about
and,
if there's health, you know, I mean,
and there
that,
are,
that happens on the national level
right,
a lot,
you know,
too.
And there are some candidates who are lawyers. Mm-hmm. Who've worked for law firms, and some lawyers are rather well paid, and they're very, very quickly write those $500,000 checks. So they're, you can chase down every possible cause for excess influence, but for me, this past election cycle, I said, I'm interested in two things. Mm-hmm. Well, three things. One is how much of your money is coming from Cambridge.
Well, that's very important.
Right.
Yes.
Then the other one was how much is coming from clearly identifiable real estate interests. Mm-hmm. And then, and some people gave me grief for this, how much was coming from unions? Because to me, it was the scale of it all is what I found dazzling, is very, very, very large sums of money coming from unions.
But that's been a given for years in all kinds of elections.
But it's not uniformly distributed around amongst candidates. So it's basically rewards incumbents primarily. And it's sort of like, you know, we like the fact that you've done this, so now you're going to have $6,000 extra in your campaign.
Okay, but unions, some of those unions were the carpenters unions and people, so they're basically, you could tuck them in with the real estate people.
That was part of the intention as well. And you know, a lot of times when there is some either a zoning petition on the table or, you know, to get some approval to do some major development, sometimes the developers and the legal staff will actually recruit people from the labor unions to come and speak on behalf of the upzonings. So there's some influence.
Oh, no, I see that a lot.
I mean, I tried my best not to overstate it, but I think it was valid data.
But, you know,
to put
are these
there.
Union people that, is it the union separate from the people that lived in Cambridge that belonged to these unions?
All right, now, I mean, I don't have all the knowledge about this, but I do know some things about this, which is some of the people who are making decisions about who. It's not like the rank and file are sent a ballot, like which candidates shall we donate money to. That's not how it works. There are certain people who are basically part of the political decision-making process who decide, and some of them are very politically connected.
Well, and yes, and some unions can be that way, but I do remember the testimony.
Up to and including former elected officials, I might add.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just thought it was a relevant piece of information. People can interpret it any way they wish.
You could see, like, the whole contingent of West Cambridge people are kind of like a union of their own, which makes money, and they support, you know.
That has always been kind of a nagging thing. Even from, I remember in the days of Al Vellucci and stuff like those. Or even Eddie Sullivan going way back into the 1940s and 50s.
Yeah.
You know, this notion about the CCA, the Cambridge Civic Association, tended to be more representative of West Cambridge people who are a little bit better off.
Belong to groups.
And they could have excess influence as a result, you know, because they were some, you know,
well, the Cambridge
wealthier
Citizens
property
Coalition
values.
Is sort of on that.
Think it's a fair criticism to say that because, you know, a lot of the people who were riled up about the overlay proposal last year, a lot of them were people who were property owners. So, and being a property owner in Cambridge today means you probably could be considered wealthy by most standards.
That's a good point.
You know, so that's the way it goes. So elections are influenced.
Yeah.
I just think people just should be aware of it and maybe just sort of get at least some sense of it all.
Just watch your candidates after the fact and see if they do.
Now, one of the funny things that happened when I was, after the David Weinstein vacancy recount election was completed, you know, everybody said, congratulations, CSC. By the way, he's going to be sworn in about 7 minutes.
Oh, that's right, Tuesday. Is this a formal meeting?
Formal meeting of the Cambridge School Committee. So congratulations, David.
I'll go home and watch it.
At 6. Well, no, this is 6 o'clock. You can't. You got to stick here for another half hour.
No, but it goes. It's a formal meeting. It's going beyond.
Oh, it'll be. It'll be going
I won't
on.
See
yeah.
It. I can
David
see
will be a sitting member.
That's
beginning
all
at 6 o'clock.
To just see what it looks
like. I mean, that's the way it works. When is it?
I'm glad there's a guy there because, you know, otherwise it's just fair. Because, you know, the mayor sits in and it's a woman, it's all women.
So it's just two out of seven?
So now Fred and David. Good.
Yeah. Stick up for the guys.
Balance, but, you know, sometimes.
Really. You know, I want to believe that, you know, regardless of the composition, either gender-wise, racial-wise, that seven people on the city council are capable of representing everybody.
No.
Come on, please.
I know.
Or is it just what you look like that determines who you represent?
You do have to have a balance.
I know, but that's largely that's for appearances' sake.
You only can be what you can see.
Perhaps so.
Whatever expression it is. Like, if
you
don't see yourself.
But ultimately, it is the responsible of all elected officials in an at-large
system.
Tell
that to the Congress, who are now still speaking and not listening and not doing our job.
Absolutely.
They're not doing their job.
Yes.
know.
So here's one thing that was sort of funny, and so let's go to the 20,000 thing.
Oh yeah, the 20,000 thing.
So
yeah,
one of the things I do is I keep election archives. You know, uh-huh. You know, thank you very much. You know, you can send me a postcard saying thank you. But I was updating things after the long time list going back to 1941.
Yeah.
And I actually found a list that I got from Glenn Kuchar, and I just dutifully keeping it up some years, which the total number of number one votes over your entire time as a candidate, and who's the biggest. Now, no surprise to anybody who knows about this is Walter Sullivan would have to be the all time leader, right? But the thing is that I was kind of interested when I was sort of going through it here just to sort of see when I updated it.
Yeah.
So up at the very top there's Walter Sullivan. And by the way, the fact that he got him all the city council is really kind of extraordinary. But he was there for over 3 decades.
So this covers 41 to 2019.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So just freshly updated.
Total number one votes.
You typically have more votes because there are fewer candidates for school committees. So you can usually run them up faster on school committee.
That's true.
But interestingly, in addition to a lot of people that some people never heard of, but many people have, there's Freddie Fantini, Tim Toomey is on the list. Mm-hmm. These are people who make 20,000 of votes total for first two or three terms. And then Denise Simmons.
She was also on the school committee.
Right. Uh-huh. And as you work your way down to the very last, look who squeaked in at 20,000. Patty Nolan.
Patty Nolan.
Who's freshly elected to the Cambridge City Council.
Well, she sneaked in because of the city council vote. Yeah. 1685.
Yes. But she also had a lot of votes she was on the school committee. Right. She was always top vote getter or whatever.
That's great.
So welcome to the 20,000 Club, Patty.
Okay.
So anyway, we have more things we can talk about
in
the next half hour here. Not all related to elections.
No, could be the impeachment.
You bet. See you in a few minutes.
Bye.